Over the next 4 Sundays, we'll be talking about the doctrine of eschatology. That's the doctrine of last things. Back in the early 60s, Dwight Pentecost, who was a professor at Dallas Seminary, wrote a thick book, probably 1,400 pages, called Things to Come. And it was all about those things that are yet to happen in the future. Well, those things we're going to talk about. Now, there are 4 specific things that we want to cover in these next 4 Sundays. The first thing we want to look at is the rapture. Then we're going to look at the judgment seat of Christ. Then the revelation, then the white throne judgment. So we'll be preaching on these events yet future, things to come, over the next 4 weeks here on Sunday. By way of introduction, we believe in our church, and one of the things that would be considered a fundamental of the faith is that Christ is going to come back again. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that is referred to often as the second coming. In the New Testament, the second coming is divided into 2 stages. The first stage of that second coming is the rapture. Christ comes. The second stage is the revelation, when Christ comes to set up his kingdom. And so it's in 2 stages. And the first stage we're going to look at this morning, the rapture. With that in mind, let me just give you the difference between the rapture and the revelation. You want to write these things down? That'd be great. Let me give you the difference between the rapture and the revelation. The rapture brings joy, all God's people said.
Amen.
Revelation brings judgment. The rapture transpires or happens before the tribulation period. Revelation happens at the end of the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period is a period of 7 years. Not all Bible-believing people believe in a tribulation period. I believe that it's taught. It certainly is pictured in Revelation, the first several passages talk about a judgment that's coming in Revelation. When you get to chapter 5, 6, and following, you will find the explanation of the tribulation period. And so the rapture happens before the tribulation, the revelation at the end of the tribulation. Number 3, the rapture is for the saints. The revelation is with the saints. Difference. Number 4, the rapture, we go up. The revelation, Christ comes down. Number 5, the rapture is to make us complete. We're not complete yet, amen? Someday we will be complete. We'll have complete salvation. We will be forever complete in him. The rapture is to make complete. The revelation is to make war. It's anything but complete. Number 6, the rapture means deliverance. The revelation means doom. And then 7, the rapture, we are united with Christ in heaven. The revelation, we rule and reign with Christ on earth. And so these 2 things are separated. They're different. This morning we're going to look at the rapture. I want to call your attention to two basic portions of Scripture this morning. The first is found for us in 1 Corinthians 15. The second is found for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Corinthians 15, verses 51 and following says this: "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." The word sleep there means die. Whenever the word in the New Testament sleep is used, it's used in a gentler sense. It's not talking about soul sleep. It's talking about the body that goes to the ground after it dies. The soul and spirit go to heaven to be with Christ. So this isn't talking about soul sleep. This is talking about the sleep of death. "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks," listen to this, "but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ," all God's people said. Amen? Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following. The book of 1 Thessalonians was written to dismantle the teaching that was being taught that there was no resurrection from the dead. And Paul writes in this, in fact, every chapter of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, think with me now, every chapter mentions the second coming. Every chapter. The 1 and 2 Thessalonians, every chapter. And this, the mention of it is found here in verse 13 through 18 of chapter 4. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, unlearned, misled even, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." There's that word again, asleep. It means those who have died. "That ye sorrow not, even others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." The word "prevent" means shall not go before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words," all God's people said. Okay, the rapture. The rapture takes place when Christ comes back in the clouds. You remember the book of Acts chapter 1. Christ is taken up into heaven after his resurrection, after his appearances. And the angel looks at the disciples and says, "Ye men, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." He went up literally. He went up bodily. And he's coming back the same way, all God's people. And he's coming in the clouds. He'll be in the clouds somewhere over earth. That's going to happen. And the dead will be raised first. That is, the bodies will be raised out of the ground. And they'll be joined or united with their soul and spirit, all God's people said. Then those of us that are alive at that time will be changed and go up. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And so let's look at this rapture for a moment. Number one, I want you to notice the distinctions of the rapture. Number one, we believe that the rapture is imminent. How many know what the word imminent means? It could happen at any time. Could happen today, could happen tonight, could happen in the next few minutes, could happen the next year, but it's imminent. It's going to happen at any time. Now, we don't know the time, Christ does, but we know that he's coming back and it's going to happen imminently. So this distinction, first of all, is that it is an imminent coming. It occurs at any time. Secondly, it's pre-tribulational. We said that before. It's before the tribulation period. The point is that the church, or all those that are dead in Christ, all those that are alive in Christ at the rapture, will be caught up and taken out of the world so they'll not have to go through the tribulation period, all God's people said. Tribulation period is not for the saints, it's for the nation of Israel. It's Jewish. It's to bring them back, to gather them back, to help them see that Christ is the Redeemer, that Christ is the Messiah. So it's Jewish in its very effect. It has nothing to do with the church. We will be gone. We will be taken up. It's an imminent return. It's a pre-tribulation return. There's a third distinction. It's for those in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise. To be in Christ is to know him as your Savior. To be in Christ is to have him as the one who redeemed you, that paid your sin debt. That means you know if you died the moment, that very moment, you would go to heaven. The dead in Christ, all God's people said. Then it said, those that are alive and remain, the alive in Christ. Those that are not dead, have not died. If Christ comes back while we're still alive, we will be those that are alive in Christ. And we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And at the moment that we're caught up, our body will take a transformation. Amen? I don't know about you, I'm tired of this body. The older I get, the less it works. It doesn't work right sometimes. I tell my body all the time, my mind says, you are an athlete. It's thinking years ago. You are an athlete. Run over there, my body says. Are you nuts? I'm not running anywhere. The other day, one of my grandkids, the little ones, Hudson says, Papa, you want to race? Oh. I said, not really. He said, oh, come on, race with me, Papa. So I raced him for about 17 steps. He's way down the road and I'm way back here, waving to him, a lost child. Body doesn't work like it used to, but someday it'll be changed. It'll be made incorruptible. It'll be made immortal. It'll be changed supernaturally. It's going to be for all those who are dead and alive in Christ. And there's one fourth distinction. It's before the judgment seat. You will be in your resurrected body. If you want to know where that's found, it's 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. I don't have time to read all these scriptures, but 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10 will tell you that it's before the judgment seat is after we have our resurrected bodies. So our resurrection, our resurrected bodies will transpire before we are standing at the judgment seat of Christ. That happens. So there's four distinctions. It's imminent, it's pre-tribulational, it's for those in Christ before the judgment. Now I want you to look at chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Because this is the text we want to look at that's going to describe for us the rapture as God intended us to see it. So number one, we showed the difference. We looked at the distinctions. Now we're going to look at the description. How is the rapture described in this passage? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that in 1 Corinthians 15, two words are used that are important. The word moment and the phrase twinkling of an eye, those are used to describe what is being described in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. The word moment is a Greek word, and it means, it's the word atom, or atome, or we get our word atomic from. It's a small, tiny, little, short, is the thought. It means very small amount of time. In a moment, a very small amount of time. Then it says in the twinkling of an eye, that was the word that we would get our two things it means. Number one, it means a blink. How many ever blinked at something? That happens so quickly, does it not? A blink. But it also means the time it takes the sun to strike the retina, the gleam from the eye. When that happens, you get a little glitter. Both of those refer to a sudden event, something that's going to happen very quickly. So number one, I want you to be careful to understand that this rapture is a sudden event. It's going to happen suddenly. It's not going to happen over a period of time. It's not going to be drawn out. It's going to happen instantaneously, in the atome of time, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the time it takes the sun to strike your retina. It's going to happen that fast, all God's people said. This rapture is a sudden event. Secondly, according to our passage in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, the rapture will be a sure event. I want you to notice a verse, chapter 15. Paul says this, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Understand that, underline that phrase, by the word of the Lord. It's an important phrase. What he's saying is this is something that came directly from Christ. This isn't something he said earlier. This isn't something he was alluding to back in Matthew 24. This isn't something that could maybe be found in prophecy. That's not what he's saying. This is a word from Christ directly. It absolutely is supernatural. It's a special revelation from Christ to Paul. Paul got it. And so when Paul is standing now and going to tell this to these Thessalonian Christians, he's saying, not what I think, this is what God said. It's direct revelation. It's sure. It's absolutely true. So he says, This is the word of the Lord. You can stack your money on it. You can count your life on it. It's guaranteed. It's for sure. And then in the next two verses, 16 and 17, he emphasizes that sureness of God's revelation to him by the word shall. Listen to verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend, all God's people said, from heaven with the voice, the shout with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, all God's people said. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall, there's that word again, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you see how sure that is? He says, God gave me a revelation. Special revelation. Supernatural revelation. And here it is. It's not what these false teachers have been teaching you, that there's no resurrection and that those that are dead are just dead. Said, you don't have to sorrow like those that have no hope. You have hope. And this hope is based upon what God told me to tell you. And here's what he told me. You shall. He shall descend. You shall be changed. You shall be with Christ. It's going to happen. You can count on it. It's sure, all God's people said. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Shall. That's sure. That is absolute. It will happen. God does not lie. We must be changed. Heaven awaits us, all God's people said. Let me say those three things again. God does not lie. We must be changed. Heaven awaits us. Rapture. We're going up. Amen. Thank God for that. So number one, this rapture is a sudden event. Number two, it's a sure event. Number three, it's a separating event. Separating. Dead in Christ, alive in Christ. There's only two groups. I want you to hear this. Dead in Christ and alive in Christ. There's only two groups. Just two. There are not more than two. There's only two. Those that are dead in Christ, those that have died who have Christ as their Savior, those that are alive who have Christ as their Savior, dead in Christ, alive in Christ. They're the only ones that this rapture is going to affect. They're the only ones this rapture is going to take. They're the only ones that this rapture is going to bring up to heaven. It will be a separation of some magnitude. Do you understand that the dead in Christ, the alive in Christ, will be separated from everybody else? What about the others, Pastor? Husbands will be separated from wives. There's a saved husband in a home and an unsaved wife in a home, and the rapture takes place. Saved husband will go up. Unsaved wife will not. Wives from husbands. Children from parents. Aunts and uncles that you've known. Cousins that you may be acquainted with. Work partners, business people you have run across, friends, neighbors, if they don't know Christ, they will be left behind. If they do not know Christ, they will be left behind. There will be a great separation take place at the rapture. This sudden shore, this separating event, will be marked by three things. Write these down. Number one, there will be great distress. Great distress. Hearts failing. Emotions at the highest level. Brokenness. You imagine a mother sits at home and her children are there. Her husband's there. She didn't like church, didn't believe in church, didn't want to have anything to do with church. Her husband took the kids every Sunday. They normally came home soon as Sunday school and church was over, and they went to the house and she would prepare dinner. She went home to prepare dinner. While working on the dinner, no one's there. Husband's not there. Children aren't there. They're gone. 30 minutes transpires. An hour transpires. Several hours transpire. She calls the police. Man answers the phone and she says, "My husband and children are missing." He said, "Ma'am, there are people missing all over this city. Many of the people that work here are gone. We don't know where they're gone. We don't know why they're gone, but they're gone. They're just gone." Panic sets in. Disillusionment, despondency. Folks, on an epic scale. The world laughs at this thought. They think we're crazy. When this thing happens, they won't think we're crazy anymore. They will wonder. They will be in derision. They will be in despondency. There will be great distress. Secondly, there will be great disturbance in homes, in the workplace, on the highways, in the airways. What happens to those passengers on an airplane where most of them are not alive in Christ? They're lost. The pilots alive in Christ. The co-pilots alive in Christ. What happens to that plane? You thought September 11th was bad. Planes are going to be falling out of the sky. Trains are being wrecked. Car crashes will be innumerable. People will be dying. It's going to be a disturbance of some consequence. Then there's going to be, I think, great deception. Let me explain this to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. Actually, 2 and verse 6 and following. Talks about the coming of the Antichrist. The Antichrist shows up at the beginning of the tribulation period. The church is already gone. I'm going to know that. We said that. Revelation 4, the church is gone. Revelation 6, the tribulation begins. The Antichrist comes on the scene. He's going to be accepted by the world as a peaceful leader, as a man who can get the job done. Across the globe, people are going to look to him for the answers. The Bible says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is the people that are left behind. They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So what did God have to do? And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. How are they going to explain the missing? How are they going to explain the disaster? How are they going to explain these things? They will be deceived. God will send them strong delusions. I don't know what the lie is, but perhaps a lie is that they were judged by God. I don't know what the lie is, but it's a deception that every single person on this earth will agree with. They'll accept. They'll say, that makes sense. That's where they've gone. But it won't be true. Great distress, great disturbance, great deception. Then lastly, this event, this rapture. Can be a satisfying thing, all God's people said. The last verse of our passage says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The word comfort is the word we get our word encouragement from. But it means to encourage, to cheer, in order to develop in each other a sure hope, all God's people said. To encourage, to cheer, to develop in each other a sure hope. Comfort one another. Encourage one another with these things. It'll bring satisfaction to the soul, all God's people said. Amen. The psalmist said that when he sees Christ, he shall, my soul, he said, shall be satisfied. Well, let me suggest to you, someday Christ is coming back again. It's going to happen sure as you're sitting where you're sitting. And we're to comfort one another on a regular basis with these words. Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. And it can be a satisfying, encouraging, helpful thing, a cheerful thing. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it's a satisfying event because it's a comfort. 1 Thessalonians 15:57, it's a satisfying thing because it's victorious. O grave, where is thy sting? Where's your victory? Strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, all God's people said. It's victorious. Then 1 John 3:2 and 3 says this, behold, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he shall appear, that's Christ, we shall be like him, all God's people said. Because we'll see him as he is, and everyone that has this hope purifieth himself even as God is pure. It's the great hope, all God's people said. This is not a hope without a sure outcome. This is a hope with a definite outcome, all God's people said. He's coming back. For the dead in Christ and those that are remaining alive in Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Are you in one of those two groups? Do you have relatives that have died in Christ? They'll go up. If you're sitting here today, you're alive in Christ. You'll go up. But if you're not saved today and Christ would come, you will not go up. The rapture. It's a sure event. Lord, help us to rejoice in the fact that if we're saved, we're on course for heaven. But Father, so many we know are not saved, and God, help us to warn those that need Christ and cheer those that know Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.